Blog Talk Radio.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find an see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. They ain't gonna be in there. But 51% of your prison will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Black won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourself up. And I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economics. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control buildings and industry, and put that pulls in your money, and hold that money, and practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 to 13 times for a lease. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folk got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money. Major corporations, who got the money? That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control and you take your money on the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with the politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor then is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor and you control the court system and the police department. Then the fourth floor, then is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk only control less than 35 thousandths of 1% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about 75 or 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. So you can't communicate with your people. You can't inform your people. You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad-mouthing you. And O'Reilly, they can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't even communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisoners in the United States are black people. You know you only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics. And they're going to go after the weakest people they can get their hands on to incarcerate them. That's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march, a demonstration. We're going to march. March, who cares? Marching has never changed anything.
Now, learn this from Joel Osteen. That's my man. He be texting me. That's my man. This God done put some people around me, show me some stuff. He was telling this story. He said, this man that went to heaven, and he was walking with Peter down this aisleway, and was going down this corridor, had a lot of doors on it, and said all these doors had names on it. And he said, Peter, let me ask you something. What's all these doors, these names on? He said, don't worry about it. Just go ahead. So he kept walking. He messed around. He saw one of them doors and had his name on it. He said, whoa. He said, hey, Peter, this here ain't got my name on it. Something I need to know? He said, man, don't worry about that. You here now. Just go on in there and talk to him. See what he's here. He said, nah, I want to know what's in the door. He said, you sure you want to see what's in the door? He said, yeah. So he opened up the door. It was a warehouse. It had number shelves on it. And then the shelves had nothing but packages. And all the packages had his name on them. And he said, what is all these boxes? He said, that's all of the blessings, all of the things God wanted to ship to you. But number one, you didn't ask him for it. Then number two, you didn't believe you would have it. Then you doubted him. And then you felt like you wasn't worthy. And so now all these boxes is up here. Now the man standing there wishing he had never even been in the room. And I started thinking. I got some dudes that work for me. And I said, I want you to do this graph for me. And that's what I'm finna show you now. See, what you're having is When God sends your package, he only sends it to one street. That's Faith Street. You got to stay in faith. You can't move off of Faith Street. You can't get on Doubted Drive. You can't be over there and start doubting it because your package going to go right on by. You can't lose your faith and get on Not Meant to Be Way because your package is going to keep going right on by. Because the package just go to Faith Street. You can get your little feelings hurt, I ain't worthy. Guess what? Your package going to keep going right on by. You have not because you ask not. Then you sit up here and start feeling sorry for yourself. You go over on Pity Way, your package keep going right on by. If you stay right on Faith Street, don't ever come off because the blessing is coming. If you wait on it, here it comes. It may not come when you want it, but it on time. But if you get up and you move off of Faith Street, your box gonna get sent back to sender. And now you're gonna have a warehouse with a bunch of boxes with your name on it that you didn't never get. And I don't know about you, but I want everything he got for me. If he got something for me, I need all of mine. Because I don't know about you, but God lay you out, man. God will give you stuff. Man, he done took me places. I ain't never thought I was going to go. I done seen parts of the world I never even thought I could go to. He done gave me stuff. He done put people in my life. God will do it for you, man. But you just got to stay, man. Use these principles of success. Understand, God is just that way. He'll lay you out. Because if he can lay me out, see, if he fix me and change me and get me over here trying to do better, I ain't perfect. I'm just trying to do better. I still say some stuff I ain't supposed to say. You understand? I ain't got it all together yet. I just got in the gate. I'm a new kind of Christian. But ain't no lock on my gate either. So if you see, once you check me, I'm probably going to check you back. But I'm getting better at that. I don't know how to love my enemies yet. I'm getting better at it, though. But it's a process. And the more times we can make people understand that it's a process, the more people can come in. And y'all people that have been good to me, that have been praying for me. I mean, man, my mama, if she could see me now, I just wish my mama could see me. Because she's been praying for this hill all her life. Watch my son. Well, he done watched me, mama. And I'm cool now. And my philosophy is very simple. I was who I was, but I am who I am. And I'm cool with both them people. Because who I was wasn't that bad a cap. I made some mistakes, but I've been changed a little bit. And it's still a process. And the more people that you invite into the process, the better this is. Because ain't nobody perfect no how. So I really appreciate y'all, man, hearing me and listening to me. I'm going to ask Kirk Franklin if he will come.
Is the Black Lives Matter movement succeeding in its aim to end racism? And is life now better or worse?
The only two things in life that make it worth living is guitars tuned good and firm feeling women. I don't need my name in the marquee lights. I got my song and I got you with me tonight. Maybe it's time we got back to the basics of love. Let's go to Lukenbach, Texas, Waylon and Willie and the boys. This successful life we're living got us feuding like the Hatfields and McCoys. Between Hank Williams' pain songs and Blueberry's train songs and blue eyes crying in the rain. Out in Lukenbach, Texas, ain't nobody feeling no pain. So baby, let's sell your diamond ring, buy some boots and faded jeans and go away. This coat and tie is choking me, and in your high society you cry all day. Been so busy keeping up with the Joneses, four car garage, and we're still building on. Maybe it's time we got back to the basics of love. Let's go to Lukenbach, Texas, Waylon and Willie and the boys. This successful life we're living got us feuding like the Hatfields and McCoys. Between Hank Williams' pain songs and Newberry's train songs and blue eyes crying in the rain. Out in Lukenbach, Texas, ain't nobody feeling no pain. Let's go to Lukenbach, Texas, William Waylon and boys. This successful life we're living's got us feuding like the Hatfields and the McCoys. Between the Hank Williams Payne songs and Jerry Jeff Train songs and blue eyes crying in the rain. Out in Lukenbach, Texas, there ain't nobody feeling no pain.
All right. And we're back for another installment of It's My House and DIY Housing TV. And we're up to, because Lukenbach, Texas, that's a tiny town. Population 3, and it's 10 acres big. And our tiny town feature for today is, and we're up to tiny town number 35. Up to tiny town number 35. And it's McMullen, Alabama. I don't have much history of how the town got started, but McMullen, Alabama has a population of 28 people, and McMullen, Alabama is 70 acres big. 70 acres big. So if you got the money or partner up with, you know, maybe one or two people, hey, you can be just like McMullen, Alabama. Anyway. So when we do get more information, particularly on the history of McMullen, Alabama, we'll pass along to you guys. But McMullen, Alabama, that's our tiny town number 35. Today, jump-off title is, and we're going to do this at least once, maybe twice a month, a series that we're starting titled Billionaires Are Made in Small Places. Everybody would like to probably have, well, maybe not everybody. Many people would like to have the wealth of a billionaire, but, and you know what? And everybody, I would say everybody I would say 95% or more of the entire planet has done something that if they did it, hyped it up and did it and multiplied it a greater number of times, they can be billionaires too. Now, they're less than, let me look up right now. Number of billionaires on the planet. I want to motivate some people today. All right. Number of billionaires. Okay, here we go. There's a total of 2,640 billionaires from 44 countries on the planet. Less than 3,000 billionaires on the planet. Out of 8 billion plus people and counting, you have less than 3,000 billionaires on the planet. Now, I just said that I believe 95% of the planet, at least 95% of the planet, people have done something that you could become a billionaire yourself if you wanted to. Let me give an example, all right, because you know, how do you, what's your theory? Well, let's take a hamburger. And I'm going to use McDonald's as an example. I would say easily 95% of the planet can make a hamburger. I'm sure quite a number of people out here that are listening that, I mean, it's two slices of bread, any kind of bread, with some meat and with a beef patty in the middle of it. And voila, you got a hamburger. Somebody, a kindergartner, could make a hamburger. Let's see, the first meal I cooked was, I had an aunt that taught me, man, I was super excited. It was a hot dog. She took out a pot, put some water in it, or had me put water in the pot, had me take the hot dog out of the refrigerator or freezer, whatever it was in. This was in New Orleans, Louisiana, the first thing my Aunt Marie taught me how to cook. I mean, my first meal. I put the water in the pot, put the hot dog in the pot myself, taught me how to turn on the stove, and I let it boil, and I cooked it, and it was a slice of bread, wasn't a hot dog bun, I put some mustard on it. That was my first cooked meal. So a hamburger is essentially the same thing. Okay. Where somebody, you know, young, could cook. Some of you who are parents, grandparents, or great-grandparents, you've cooked so many hamburgers, you can't even count. Have no idea of how countless meals. But we've all done something. It doesn't have to be in the cooking well. It could be repairing cars, plumbing, teaching lessons, whatever it might be. But everybody has done actually multiple things that if you just took one of those things and did it enough times, you would become a billionaire. Well, going back to McDonald's. Now, in the United States, globally, no, this is in the U.S. Okay. There are 13,514 McDonald's restaurants in the United States as of August 1st, 2023. That's the latest statistics. Okay, the majority of McDonald's in the United States are in California. California, which is the most populated state, has 1,218 McDonald's restaurants. which is about 9% of all McDonald's restaurants in the United States, 9% of that total is in the state of California. All right. Now, for those of you who don't know, the late Ray Kroc, he was a milkshake salesman at 55 years old, I think, when he was selling some milkshake machines at McDonald's, but he noticed their system. And so the McDonald's brothers, originally from Vermont, it was their thing. I mean, they didn't even invent the hamburger, okay. But they had a pretty good system. So Ray Kroc said, let's get this thing franchised. Which they had tried that, but it wasn't really to their liking. So he got into agreement where he was franchising, but he wasn't making that much money. Then a guy that he had working with him, Sullenberg, I believe his name is, said, "You're not in the hamburger business. You're in the real estate business." And then Ray Kroc, he had an aha moment. And what he did, now this is where he went, this dude's over 55, 60 years old by now. Okay, no, Jesus, this dog, no. You go over there on that pillow. Dog wants to crawl up on me. Anyway. Anyway, so then what Ray Kroc did was he started, because he was recruiting people to become franchise owners, he started building McDonald's restaurants where the burgers were made, burgers and fries and shakes were made. Now, it wasn't the sale of the burgers who made, he didn't make really any money off the hamburgers, it was the stuff that McDonald's sold. But Ray Kroc, and he came up with the system in which the restaurants were, the construction was made, the locations. So the system that we have now in place with McDonald's, once again, if you did what he did, all right, 13,000, excuse me, the 13,000, if you do something 13,000 plus times, and you got a price tag on it, there's a good chance that you can become a billionaire if you've got the discipline to do it, okay? And most of those McDonald's are in towns that the average American citizen who is born and raised in the United States have probably never even heard of. Now, I went to college in a place called Canyon, Texas. Canyon, Texas today has about 15,000 people. But I'm sure there's a number of people that live in Texas, that were born and raised in Texas, that have never heard of Canyon, Texas. Now, I bring that up because when I went to Canyon, Texas, and the population when I went to Canyon, Texas, was not 15,000 people. It was less than that. Probably about 4,000 people when I went. But still today in 2023, it's about 15,000 people and some change. But they had a McDonald's there. And that's why we're going through the series, Billionaires Are Made in Small Places. Sam Walton, most people in the United States have never heard of Bentonville, Arkansas. So billionaires typically don't get started in a New York City or Dallas, Texas or Miami, Florida or Orlando, Florida. Those are in what I call end retail markets. They get their start and they gain their traction in the little small places on the planet. All right. Now, when I graduated in 1980, and like I said, because I lived in Canyon, Texas for 4 years, there wasn't even a Walmart there. There's a Walmart there now. So there's a lot of little towns And it's amazing how you can be it's amazing how small comfort zones, like I know when I went to Oklahoma, there's a very symbolic landmark or historical landmark, which is right outside of Taft, Oklahoma. It's in Muskogee County, Oklahoma. And then I met with another person that grew up like 20 to 30 minutes away from this particular, and they had never seen or heard of this particular landmark. And they only separate about 20 or 30 minutes. So more than likely, and let's say you've done something, let's do some arithmetic here. Let's say you had a side hustle in which you bought in, let's say $5,000 in a year, off of a side hustle. Well, if you did that 10,000 more times, you have $50 million. All right. If you did something, let's up the ante here, a side hustle that bought you, oh, come on, dog. This is it. Go. Restless. All right. Something that bought you in a side hustle, $25,000. Let's say a second job or whatever it might be. And let's say you did that 10,000 times. That'll get you $250 million. Of course, if you did it 40,000 times, you make over $1 billion. So essentially, sit down, take out a piece of paper, write down 5 or 10 things that you have successfully done that you've made some money off of, and divide it, to take that number, divide it into a billion, and that'll tell you how many times you're going to have to do that to generate $1 billion. Because with Ray Kroc or McDonald's or Subway Sandwiches or Uber, like the guys who started Uber, they started off renting out one apartment with 3 air mattresses in 3 rooms. Now they're billionaires, not even 40 years old yet. But they came up with an app. Because that's what Airbnb really is. It's an app. And that allowed them to leverage themselves. So they have Airbnbs in over 65,000 towns around the globe. They just took one thing, put it on an app, and that leveraged it to over 65,000 destination towns around the globe. Uber, same thing. It's an app. God knows there's a gazillion taxi drivers all around the planet. Because you can even, and an app allows you to go, because you can go fishing two ways. You can go fishing with a single line. You cast that single line, you catch a fish, you haul in a fish, one fish. Might be a big fish, but it's one fish. Or you can go fishing and cast a net. So when you go fishing with a net, which is an app or social media, when you go fishing with a net, then you multiply yourself and you can catch more. But billionaires are made in small places. They start in like places that you wouldn't even, that most of you have never heard of. That's where the action is. And the smaller the place, geographically speaking, you have less government, which means you have less rules and regulation. You need less startup capital. And you're allowed, and it, you just look for those little places that most people have never heard of. Now, if you're not interested in billions of dollars or whatever, if you just want a place, a roof over your head where you can live with low taxation and practically debt-free living, it's the small places around the planet, including here in the United States. Those are the places to go. I'm in Florida right now. Florida has 67 counties. Now, if you're struggling financially with the roof over your head and utility bills, all right, I'm going to just use Florida as a backdrop. Florida has 67 counties. Avoid Dade County, that's where Miami is. Broward County is, that's where Fort Lauderdale is. Orange County, which has over 1 million people. Matter of fact, avoid all counties that have a million people. Too many people, too much density. The more people in the county, the more money that you're going to need. And the more rules and regulations. Avoid Orange County, avoid Pinellas County, Hillsborough County, that's where Tampa St. Pete is, and Duval County, that's where Jacksonville is, which is the largest city in Florida. So I've just named, about six or seven counties. Outside of those counties, Florida is a rural state, and it's in the rural places with a small population is where you can get affordable housing with low taxation, less rules and regulation. For people who don't like the police for whatever reason, less police or less law enforcement. And you can basically live in what I call the real United States of America. I got a friend of mine I went to high school with. I spoke to him about two, three days ago. He's up in Cooperstown, New York, home of the Baseball Hall of Fame. And he told me, because he's a night owl. Okay, he lives a little bit south of Miami, Florida. He's a night owl, always has been that way. He likes to just hang out all night, go to clubs. That's his thing. That's his lifestyle. All right. But up in Cooperstown, which has a population of like 1,500 people, he said if he grew up as a teen, he would probably commit suicide. Because for him, you know, he goes out at 10 or 11 o'clock at night. All right. But in Cooperstown, New York, population 1,500 people or so, everything shuts down at 11 p.m. I said, well, look, man, there's a bunch of towns across the United States that close down earlier than that. Now, some close down, I mean, 7 o'clock, that's it. Downtown shut down, you know. The bars, everything that he likes to do socially, you know, in a lot of these towns, most of these towns in the United States doesn't exist. But their people, the lion's share of the people that live in the United States, once again, and we brought up these stats last week from the United States. The majority of people in the United States, they live in towns that have a population of 5,000 people or less. So the people like Ray Kroc, Subway Sandwiches, the Walton family, Sam Walton and his wife Alice, I don't know if Alice is still living, but Sam's gone. The people that joined the Billionaires Club, and once again, there are less than 3,000 billionaires on the planet. The only difference between you and them is they took something that you've done, and I'm using the example of the hamburger. Practically, anybody who's listening to this podcast, you have either cooked your share of hamburgers or you've done something that's, really idiot-proof simple to do. and you've done it successfully. And you've probably done several things successfully. But the, what the billionaires do is they take one thing and they do it thousands of times, which requires some kind of discipline. And they figure out, you know, how I can get paid to do it. That's why I use McDonald's, Walmart. Anyone out here can cook a damn hamburger. But are you willing to do it 13,000 times? Or rather, not you do it 13,000 times. Set up a system a way you can do it 13,000 times, 40,000 times, and you go from there. Even the Amish and the Mennonite, not all of them, because I would say the Amish and the Mennonites, those are like, those are two communities, or they have multiple communities, actually, where they're millionaires. Now, it doesn't look like they're billionaires, according to the rappers that you see out here. They're not driving Bugattis or Maybachs. They're not driving Bentleys. You know, the Amish are doing a horse and buggy thing. But they refuse to get into debt for $15,000, $20,000, whatever you pay for your car. They don't play that game. So, but that's a whole different thing, lifestyle. And Friday, we're going to see if we can get Albert Lee back up on it, because we're going to do a part two to Amish Enterprise. Amish Enterprise, because we're studying them. All right. Now, quick announcement. We launched last week Abiding Faith Housing Ministries. Once again, Abiding Faith Housing Ministries. That's something that we do. And if you're looking to earn, if you need an extra $200 to $1,000 a weekend, we're going to be training people. We have our first tour of next month, so on September the 9th, our first Florida tour. And if you're interested in that, we're doing it in different states. So if you're in a neck, if you, no matter what state you're in the United States, if you're looking to earn an extra $200 to $1,000 a weekend, contact me and or Robin, and we'll give you the details, and we'll show you what you need to do to get training to be one of our tour guides. All right, and essentially, you'll be assisting people in buying acres of land. So if you know, it's 4 or 5 hours out of your time, you can earn $200 on the weekend. If you got the whole weekend to kill, you can earn $1,000 on the weekend. So contact us on that. All right, anyway, so McMullen, Alabama, population 28. They're on 70 acres of land, as I get more information on that. But Airbnb, McDonald's, I mean, there are people out here, the richest man in China became a billionaire, and he's one of the richest men in the world, actually, because I'm talking about above, he's richer than Warren Buffett, Zhong Shenzhen. He became a billionaire. He didn't come from money. He was born poor, grew up poor. He sells bottled water and became a billionaire because he figured out, oh, wait a minute, this is where I can get water. Now, that's something that everybody who I'm listening to can do. If you go to a rural county and have a well drilled for you, or learn how to drill your own well, and then learn how to, you know, now you got, you know, in this country, you know, depending on the county or the city, find out what their rules and regulations are for selling water. Matter of fact, you have on the growth, a lot of you people who buy bottled water at the grocery store, a lot of that shit's tap water. But they can legally do it. Some get it from a spring or a well. But anyway, Interesting. Bottle of water. I mean, it's not sexy. But he just bottled this shit up and just he sold it by the thousands and he became a billionaire. He's not even 70 years old yet. So let's go to the phone lines here, but don't okay, apparently Robin is busy on that line. Let's see. 866, your mic is open.
Good morning, Ellie.
Good morning, Chris.
I'm in a Grasshopper app today.
Oh, good. Good, the Grasshopper line is working.
Yeah, that was what I was hoping you were able to see it. I was calling in on it last week, too. That's when I was like, oh, hang on, let me get a 309 number. That way, at least I don't even recognize that. So, yeah, this is be the number that I call in on from now on, unless we are in the studio.
Yeah, well, you're in the studio now. So now, what do you got for us, Chris? Well, what's been happening?
Oh man, all kinds of things are happening right now. I'm kind of excited about listening to you, you know, and this ministry and getting to start showing these properties, giving people opportunities. Sounding wonderful, actually. I want to hear, you know, what it entails as far as the, you know, doing these trips. And showing, you know.
Okay, well, as far as the, here's how it started. Somebody, the 4 acres that I have in Florida, I call it Earth Wealth Forest, and then within that we have Earth Wealth E-Village, which stands for Earth Wealth Energy Village. So it's not for sale. But I said, look, it's not for sale. I'm not selling any parts of it. But, however, I can help you get your own acres. So that's sort of how it started. And then I said, well, you know what? You just can't take people out. You got to prep them before you even show them a piece of land. You know? And then I got people in more than one place that, you know, want to do the same thing. They want to buy land by the acre for whatever reason. And we've had like three women on here from Freedom, Georgia. They're up to 500 acres, and we had Pastor Roland from El Cajon, California, with the tiny house, sleeping cabins, and then some other people. So. We said before we show them the land, we need to. So we have to be a tour person. They have to. We have a four-part curriculum that we introduce people to. So they have to go through that. And those calls could be anywhere from 30 minutes to it'll be all less than an hour. But so we take them to before we meet them in person. We do it like a four-part Zoom call with a set. They get the curriculum in advance. And then after they go through that, just like this is a church that's interested in the Florida tour. So after they go through that online, then we meet them, and then, you know, they'll be looking at the land differently. Because then they'll be able to recognize resources that the average person, like earth wealth. You know, like an acre of land has 325,580 gallons of groundwater. You know, it's water, bottled water. I don't know if people realize this, but bottled water costs more than gasoline at the pump. So we help them recognize the earth wealth, And then that, you know, that's what we do with the four sessions ahead of time. And then because once we show them the land, it's there's typically more than one party interested. So we'll spend, you know, it's here today, gone today, one of those type things. And for the tour guide that we train for that, and, you know, we got another one in whatever state. You let us know. We got about five locations right now. So that tour guide will earn $200 on a tour. The tour might last, let's say, 5 hours. Because part of that time you're driving, you know, and showing this parcel, that parcel. And, you know, the land, it's land by the five or more acres. Five up to 20 acres, put it that way. And so you can do one a weekend and earn $200, or you can do up to five in a weekend, and you can earn $1,000 a weekend. So that's how that goes.
I like that. I really do. That's a nice model. It shows, it gives people incentive to want to do it. You know, you're not saying, hey, come work a part-time job at minimum wage, you know. You're saying, hey, come and pay your rent and give, you know, some hours towards something, you know, that actually you can make a difference. I mean, you're actually offering something very, you know, I think that's a great opportunity. I mean, really.
Well, yeah, and then see, also, now we don't, now, like, one of the concepts, well, you coined the term micro towns. Some of these people might want to develop their own micro town, like, you know, Robin. She's got 2 acres, which is legally is Maben Town, which is only 2 acre, you know, 2 acres big. But that you know, that'll be, you know, for people that are ready for that type of thing where they develop their own township. That's why we do. I don't do it every day, but we do it at least 2 to 3 times a week. We feature tiny towns. That, you know, I mean, Luckenbach, Texas, it's only 10 acres big, only 3 households there. So when we know the backstory on those towns, you know, we share that with you. I mean, we've had an ex-convict who started his own town up in Ferry County, Washington, Washington State. Another family in Venice Beach, Maryland. That land's been in that family for 101 years, but 50 families share that 13 acres of land. 13 acres is, you know, really awesome. It's big enough, you know. So, or Everett, Washington, which started with just one, and a lot of these towns start with one or two people. You know, another town that we featured out of South Dakota, a husband and wife team noticed that people that came up to the lake, there wasn't any place for people to eat. Unless you bought food with you. So they started flipping hamburgers and they started a town. So, you know, for people who are ready for that type of setup, but it all starts off with like a simple, you know, tour of, okay, well, here are the pros and cons if you want to live or have something in a rural setting. I'll give you an example. It's like, my first 4 acres is in a place called Hamilton County, Florida. Hamilton County, Florida, in the whole county, has about 4,000 people. All right. Not a whole lot of people there, 4,000. That's a neighborhood or a subdivision in a lot of your major cities. However, and that's why I'm saying I counted, you know, Florida has 67 counties. I pointed out the counties that if you really want to discover the real United States of America, I pointed about 6 or 7 counties that you should avoid. one of those counties I picked out. Now, once again, this is on an individual basis. Okay. I'm an extremist. All right. I like the maximum amount of freedom, which means I can do practically anything I want to do. I can't do anything I want to do, but I can do practically things. So for me, it's Hamilton County. And that's 3 hours away from where I'm at right now, which is in Polk County. But like in Orange County, Orange County has over 1 million people that live in that county. That's where Disney is, you know, Universal Studios, Orlando, all that. But there is no way I could have bought 4 acres at the price I bought it for and able to do what I want to do on a land that is zoned the way it's zoned with a county, any county that has 1 million or more people. There's no way I could have done it. So, because now with that 4 acres, all right, I looked up the definition of a forest. The overall of it is, you know, and there's no hard set definition of a forest, but it meets a forest bare minimum requirements to be classified as a forest. It's got to be about 1.25 acres, not even 1.5 acres. So it's 4 acres there. So I meet that qualification. And you have to have vegetation and or trees that are at least 8 feet tall. I've got trees on there that are double that size. So that's why I called the place Earth Wealth Forest. Now, I got this idea basically from listening to you and Robin, because essentially if we're going to have, and some of the towns that we like, Punkyville, Kentucky. Punkyville, Kentucky is only 1 acre big. That's it. I've featured 2 1-acre towns on here. All right. So, and the other towns that are 2 acres. So I figure, all right, so we'll take the 4 acres and we'll make it into 3 towns. It'll be 1 2-acre town, which will be Earth Wealth E-Village, which stands for Earth Wealth Energy Village, and then we'll take the other 2 acres, I mean, other 2 singular acres, and they'll all be connected, but, you know. Now, out where Robin is, we have a total tract of 10 acres, but her 2-acre tract, which is Mabentown, and then there's 8 more acres. I've got a name already, had a name for over 2-3 years, but I'm just sitting on it because I don't know which way I'm going to go with dividing it out. But it's the amenities are, it's less than 1 hour away from the Mexican border to the state of Chihuahua, Mexico. At the south of the county, you have a state park, and then connected to that state park in the next county, which is Brewster County. And Presidio County is larger than, I think, the state of Delaware, possibly Vermont, possibly, it's definitely bigger than Delaware and Rhode Island, those states. But next to that is a even bigger county, Brewster County, which Big Bend National Park is. Now with the amenities, for Earth Wealth Forest, 10 minutes away, there's a state park, Madison State Park, where you can see spring water. You go swimming in it, too. You can dip a glass of water in there and drink it. And then 45 minutes away from Earth Wealth Forest is a national park in Florida. And Florida has 3 national parks. So... and then, you know, if you stick around long enough, you'll see deer, turkey, and, just nature that's there. So, but like I say, what we're doing with these tour guides is we're training you on, you know, rural property versus urban property, and then what type of resources that you do have, because, once again, if you take a if you're in a rural situation, and all you see are trees. And that's it. You might see a rabbit or two. And you pass on it, because most people, their perception of wealth and their definition of wealth is warped or is very limited. All right. So one of the first things we teach people is how to recognize wealth and the different distinctions of wealth. Now, one of the primary, like, if we go to the creation story out of the Bible or the Jewish Torah, same story essentially. It's all the description of earth wealth. There's nothing in those the 7 or 6 or 7 days of creation that mention anything about dollars, euros, pounds, pesos, drachma, rubles. That's all man-made stuff. It's a description of wealth in the form of natural resources. So, like, in our, and we really get into this in our second session of our tour guide training for Abiding Faith Housing Ministries. It's when you're standing on a piece of ground, and you don't have to be in a rural situation, is how much earth wealth do you see? Now, all of us, no matter where we are on the planet, if you're walking on a piece of dirt or concrete or driving down the road or whatever, you're literally walking over and driving over an ocean of water. So one of the first forms of wealth, which is a natural resource, because once again, the wealthiest man in China, and he's one of the wealthiest men, I mean, he's on the Forbes 400 list. He became a billionaire. He started off like poor, selling water. Nestle's, the bottle of water that you drink, anybody within the sound of my voice, you have access to it. You just got to know where to go. All right, so anyway, so ground wealth or earth wealth, that's the first distinction. So just on an acre of land, you've got 42,560 square feet of groundwater. That's what you have. That's one way to measure it with 1 acre of land. If we put it in terms of measuring it by gallons, just on 1 acre of land, you've got 850 gallons of groundwater. Why in the hell pay Winn-Dixie, Publix, Giant Safeway, Piggly Wiggly, Evian water, Fiji water? Why pay those people anything when you can tap your own source? And there's got to be at least nine other distinctions of earth wealth that are in plain sight of everybody. But if all your mind is basically, most people are stepping over dollars to pick up pennies. That's the current mindset because we have not been. Now, the Amish and the Mennonite and the Hutterites, they've been. Why do you think you won't see an Amish person living in a penthouse in Manhattan, New York, or Chicago, or Delaware, Orlando, Florida, Miami? You might catch them visiting those places. You might catch them with their kids at Disney World, but you're not going to see them living in Miami, Florida, or Los Angeles, California, or Seattle, Washington. They live off the grid in farm areas, rural areas, because they realize the real wealth, which is spelled out, and you can be a stone cold atheist. Natural, we use these government legal tender currencies basically to get a hold of natural resources. Natural resources so we can build a house to live on it, or naturally those vegetables that you bought at Whole Foods last week, they were grown somebody on somebody's farm. So that we get into the earth world part of the training when we get to level two, but we have four quadrants to go through before we actually meet people, before that tour guide actually meets people in person. But that way he can, you know, they can better appreciate and recognize, because like I say, if you recognize the wealth that is on 1 acre of land, you know, I can't remember the last time I bought, only time I'll buy a bottle of water will be if I'm at an airport or a train station or something like that. But now I'm to the point where I'm going to start bottling my own shit. I'm on a well already. I'm going to do more wells. So I'm going to just bottle up my own water. I already got a label name. I just had to print it out. And I'm going to start traveling with my own water. But I'm an extremist. Most people are not. So anyway, but a lot of these ideas came, you know, basically from you guys in the audience. Like I said, Chris, you coined the term micro town, so that's what we do. Our little niche is we do micro towns. I think Robin's still on the phone. Okay.
Yeah, that's what I was just hearing.
But now, Chris, you've got a project going on in Georgia with 41 acres that you guys are working on?
Yeah, actually, we're working on an 18-acre project first because it's a lot less money, and we're able to get 100% financing on the build. So we were able to purchase the property cheaper here. So we're actually working on that purchase agreement today. I got all the construction figures all figured out for it over the weekend, and we'll be turning that in today.
Okay, good. What's the location?
It's around Valdosta. I do know that.
Oh, okay. All right, that's a good area. I'm 29 miles away from that. Valdosta, 29 miles away from there.
It'll have a 7,200 square foot school. It'll have a 5,000 square foot training facility for, jobs, skills, different things. And there'll be 100 homes. And the homes are going to be 400 square feet, or they're going to be 200 square feet. I gave two separate options for that.
Okay, good. That's a good idea. Yeah, that's a very good idea. Two options. And you know what? That's what, once again, billionaires are made in small places. Donald Trump's dad, Fred C. Trump, what made him wealthy in the basis, well, I would say stage two of the Trump, because Trump's grandfather started the whole thing off with rooming houses. Then Fred C. Trump, he started out learning how to be a carpenter at 15, and his he had two cookie cutter houses. One was priced at $3,999, and the other one was priced at $4,999. But he built over 27,000 of those. once again, so you can get something like really simple and really cost affordable for people, but you got to do it thousands of times. Yeah, but I like those. And 200 square feet is a lot of room.
Yeah, it is. And a 200 square foot turnkey construction is $30,000.
Okay. So, and that's an affordable price for many people.
Yeah, and that's move in. You turn the key in the door and you live in it.
Right. Yeah, 200 square feet plenty. And then I would consider 400 square feet a small house where I think four people can live in it comfortably. Definitely three people can live in it comfortably. Of course, everybody's got a different lifestyle. But
they can, and that's the way we're designing them to actually where it can accommodate a family. And the cost of that is $60,000, but there's no power bills. This is complete where, you know, you live in it and this is all you pay. So you're getting your water, you're getting everything through that. So
a good deal. You'll be able to sell that out quick.
Yeah, so anybody can have those anywhere. Packages. We will definitely.
All right. And it's more, on how many acres now?
That's one on 18 acres.
Okay. All right. That's 18 football fields. That's a pretty good chunk of land. Whatnot. So now, for people that want more information or they're interested in that, how could they contact
you? You can go to hopeforhousing.org. And you can also call 309-542-6319. That's 309-542-6319. And you can email at steelman, that's STEELMAN, BLM, Boy Larry Mary, @gmail.com. And I would suggest, you know, phoning, texting. Those are your quickest, fastest responses you're going to get from me. And, you know, we've got architects. And we also do, you know, greenhouses. So you can actually not only live here, but you can have a greenhouse to help satisfy either your income or make sure that you got the food to eat and maybe the community around you. Do your farm stand out there. You know, that's what I'm looking at. It's going to produce more food than you can eat. And inside of your house, you have an option of a microgreen garden that will run off an aquaponic system, and you can actually enjoy your little situation inside of your house. I was looking at some very cool things, and I wound up seeing them put together, and it's amazing. So we want to definitely make sure people can say, hey, you know, if you want all your greenery, your lettuce and everything else, it can be growing right up your wall while you're living right inside of your home. Beautiful.
Good. That's a good idea. Now, there's one topic, matter of fact, if we can get Robin on here. As part of what we're doing, and we're going to provide training on too. People are like, if you're interested in earning an extra $200 to $1,000 on a weekend, we're training people for Florida tours, Arkansas, Indiana, Illinois, and North Carolina. Those are the five states that we. So if you're interested in earning $200 to $1,000 a weekend, contact me. Those are the five. That's our five jump launch states. We got our first tour on Saturday, September 9th. All right, so we're about a month away, and we do online training, and then that'll prepare you for out in the field. One thing we want to cover, and Robin brought this up to me over the weekend, particularly senior citizens or people who get sick, and you're in an assisted living facility, and of course, you know that those cost $5,000 or $6,000 a month. What happens when you run out of money? Because then they can put you out on the street. And it because there's a lot of it's an amazing amount of kids that don't take care of their senior citizen parents, or they haven't prepared to do it. Because if we all live long enough, it's something that Dr. T said about 3 or 4 weeks ago on here, and she was right, because it happened to me the same day she said it, but it happened to me before she said it. So when she said it, she said that eventually we all become disabled. Now it might not be a permanent disability or whatever. And the day she said it, about an hour before she said it, I had a mishap here right at the house I'm at right now. Because, you know, I was pet sitting. And, this goes back on. This Friday will be 3 weeks ago this coming Friday. So I was pet sitting, and I already got a dog, but I was pet sitting another dog and a pig. Okay. So I'm learning the habits of a pig, and this is a domesticated pig. It's not like Arnold Ziffel. This is a big pig. All right. And some might even call them hog. So I didn't know at this time, because the pig's always, you know, when he's up, the pig's name is Henry. You know, Henry wags his tail like a dog. But I learned that pigs can be territorial. So I was in, like, say, this pig is housebroken. You know, he goes in and out of the house. You know, he doesn't poop, pee, totally, it's like a dog, man, but not a dog, but totally housebroken. So I was giving, the dog's name is Spaz, and Henry, snacks, you know, because if you give him snacks, it keeps him cool, calm, and collected. But this particular morning, right before, this was like within less, it wasn't, the show starts at 10:30. This was about 5 or 10 after 10 in the morning. So Henry was kind of anxious or whatever. And typically I can outmaneuver a pig because this is a big animal. So as he was coming towards me to get more food, I was trying to get into the next room because this pig has tusks. And I've never been bitten by a pig, but I had no plans on it. And he didn't catch me. But in my trying to get away from him quick, I had to step over a barrier, which I could have opened up and got through easy way, but I was trying to outquick the pig and slipped. And you know what? I just fell the right way because I fell and my head hit a coffee. I could have been gone. I might not even be here today. But I fell and hit my head. My head hit. It was a loud bang, too. But fortunately, my head hit right below my nose on the coffee table, but above my mouth. So I got a gash there, and blood was all on my hand. I got a podcast to do now, 15, 20 minutes. And I hit my knee, sprained the hand and all that, but I was in good enough shape to do the podcast. Now, I'm basically back to 100%. The gash under my nose healed without any stitches. My wrist was back into shape within about 3 or 4 days. And my knee is, because I typically walk fast, I'm almost at 100%. I'm 100% everywhere except for the knee, and I still put ice on it. Okay. Okay. Why did I go on this rant? I forgot where
that's
I started
awesome.
This
no.
Oh,
you went on it.
This, all right.
Dr. T.
Right. Oh, I know what I'm bringing it to. I was disabled. Okay. I'm still not 100%. I'm almost there. Like I said, I'm good with the head. That gash healed. The wrist is back to normal. I can't walk as fast as I normally do, but each day I'm walking faster. There's absolutely no pain. I walk unassisted. But when she said that, I was disabled. So this ties into what Robin was talking about. Most people, we think we're immortal. So as part of Abiding Faith Housing Ministry, we're going to be giving people practical hands-on instruction out in the field, as well as we'll do some things online, but out in the field, on what do you do? Because if you get – here's something I learned from my mother's life. If you get sick, even if you got $1 million liquid in the bank, if you get sick, $1 million ain't a lot of money. And you can go through that within a year or so. So let's see if Robin's free. So that's one of the things. And you need to start training your kids, and that we brought this up last Friday with Amish Enterprise. The Amish and the Mennonites start training their kids actually as they pop out of their womb, because most Amish married couples are entrepreneurial couples. They were born in an entrepreneurial family. Their kids go to grades 1 through 8, and then after that, they start formally learning the family business. Let's see if Robin's available on this. But, yeah, the disability. So, Robin, break down what we were talking about yesterday, people getting set out, ass out from nursing homes.
Oh, my God. Hospital dumping. They are taking particularly elderly people and refusing them treatment at the hospitals, whether they have insurance or not. The security is putting them in wheelchairs, walking them out to off of the hospital property in sub-freezing temperatures, dumping them out of the wheelchair and going back into the building leaving them with just a blanket. 35-degree weather. Like that. Yep. And so hospital dumping. And so
nursing homes do that too.
In our communities, we want to have we want to support our nurses and our doctors, and even if we don't make our facilities available for these people to, if they get turned away there, then hey, come see a person here. We can have equipment, medical equipment and stuff like that, and we don't have to have a clinic and be open for business, but we can have our own equipment, CAT scans, whatever, and have doctors and stuff operating that, their own private stuff. So, and we might want to think about that along with policing our communities. We have to provide our own medical care as well because of what's happening in society. I'm just saying, might be something you want to think about.
Well,
you
definitely,
know?
Like I said, Dr. T said it, because eventually everybody will be there. So if you have not only hospitals, but you have jails, you also have families. The biggest entity, if you want to call it that, are people that are setting out people that are ill and are elderly are families. Because a lot of families there, nobody wants to take care of mama or daddy. They want to put them in an assisted living home.
And then so when you think of disability, it's not only what affects the human body, if you will. It's what impacts us as humans from being able that causes us to lose the ability to participate in this action or this thing or the other, right? And so you can become disabled if you get fired from your job, right? So someone can do something to you to cause you to be disabled. Does that make sense to you?
Oh, yeah, there's a whole lot of ways you can become disabled, physically disabled, financially disabled. And as Dr. G says, everybody, three things that people don't escape in life. We already know about death and taxes. The other one, everybody at one time or another or multiple times will become disabled some kind of way. Like I say, I was disabled after my head hit that coffee table.
Yeah.
I'm just
fortunate enough
I was able to bounce back.
What we want to do is we want to enable ourselves. We want to enable. We want to be proactive and enable ourselves. Uh-huh. So that we would only have to suffer any disability by choice. I don't know. That's just how I think about things.
You know, the one thing about, you know, a disability, it happens and we don't even know that it's going to happen. That was the incident of what he was talking about. And the one thing about it was, is, you know, the day before Father's Day, I become disabled, could not walk. And when you look at these situations that can occur, the one thing we always want to do is we want to take the diss out of our mouth, because even though you got hurt, you still were able to do something. So we took the diss away from your disability. Now, you couldn't do all the things that you were doing, but you still had an ability.
Right. And after, you know what? I forgot to play Jamarian Styles, which I usually play every morning. Oh, but Jamarian, I got to get him on there. I've reached out to him twice. I just got to keep on that. But, yeah, everybody, as Dr. T says, one way or another, you're going to be disabled. What plan do you have to re-enable yourself after you become disabled, or can help you with the process of it? Because it might cost you money. You might need $500, $1,000 a week to get back up on your feet. Doesn't have to be anything physically wrong with you. You know, but if you're, there's so many ways to become disabled. But like I say, anyway, we'll have that covered under Abiding Faith Housing Ministry. And once again, so if you're interested, if you live in Florida, Illinois, Indiana, Arkansas, or North Carolina, those are jump-off states, and you want to earn an extra $200 to $1,000 in a weekend without you. Now, $200, you might work 4 or 5 hours. All right. $1,000 a weekend, you'll be working Saturday and Sunday. All right. So that's the short version of it. But contact me if you're interested in that. Okay, we get.
Do you have an idea whereabouts in North Carolina we're talking about?
Not yet. By the end of the week, we'll have it in the North Carolina location.
Okay.
Well, I can tell you this, though. We do all rural areas. We don't do anything in a city. We don't do anything urban. We don't do anything suburban. Everything we do is rural, although that rural location might be driving distance. It might be 15 to 20 minutes away from a city, but it won't be any mega large metro area.
Indeed.
Huge. Huge. And you know what? Anyway, in my opinion, for the most part, huge metro areas, they're basically designed for workers. I mean, you might have, take Silicon Valley. That place is really designed, Zuckerberg and all these billionaires, Silicon Valley billionaires, a lot of people that work in Silicon Valley can't afford to live in Silicon Valley. I mean, there's a lot of people that live, they make 6-hour-a-day commutes to work in Silicon Valley, but they live 3 hours away. And I think Google is about to open up part of its campus for workers, but those workers, if they want to stay on campus, they have to pay rent to Google of $99 a day. I got a friend of mine. She lives on less than $14,000 a year. And she only works 3 months out of the year, and she's retired now. And the way she puts it, and she's got everything, she's got a debt-free house, doesn't own a car, but if she needs transportation, and this is before we even live, she's got quite a bit of social capital. She says, the less I spend means the less I have to earn. The less she spends, the less she has to earn. And so wrap your head around that one. I'm trying to find Demarion Sells. In any event, yeah, Chris.
I was going to say, I've got a Bible verse to go with your ministry. Isaiah 65:21. And
yep, we shall build houses and live in them.
Yeah, it says,
we should build houses and live in them. Yeah, that's right. That is the motto. Yeah.
Awesome. Because it also says...
Hey, we're doing bigger. Nothing new. We're not... Well, that's true. The original Whole Foods was somebody's backyard. And that's the Amish and Mennonite backyard today. You know. Real quick one. Here's a real quick one on disability. Gives you a different look on disabilities.
Many a young athlete entertains hoop dreams. Few, if any, have tried as hard to make them come true as the kid our Steve Hartman has gone to see.
Every week, he set himself up for disappointment. Every week, 13-year-old Jamarian Stiles came to this community center in Boca Raton, Florida, hoping to play basketball with the other kids. And every week, he was rejected.
They'll start picking teams, and I would be the only one left out. And then they'll just tell me, just go home and stuff. You can break someone's heart like that.
The problem was obvious to everyone but Jamarian. He lost his hands and most of his arms as an infant due to a rare bacterial infection. But he insisted that was no reason to give up his hoop dreams.
What about soccer? Have you heard of that sport?
Yeah, hear it every day.
Why don't you play soccer? That just seems like the obvious thing.
You would think that I would be good at soccer. I'm really not. I'm horrible.
Which is why, on the first day of class here at Eagles Landing Middle School, Jamarian took his case to basketball coach Darian Williams.
Yeah.
Said he wanted to be on the team this year.
I said, all great, well, just make sure you try out.
He said, okay, great, but what are you really thinking?
This man has no arms.
Yeah.
How is he going to play basketball? But, man, he told me, Mr. Williams, I've never been on a team before. Even if I don't play, I just want to be on the team. And how could I say no to that?
And that's how the Eagles got their first armless basketball player. Jamarian, number two there, quickly earned a reputation as the hardest worker on the squad.
He was usually the first one in the gym, usually the last one to leave.
Still, he sat on the bench most of the season.
Try one more.
Until last month. Coach put him in the game with about 6 minutes left. And when he eventually got the ball on the far side of the court, everyone yelled, shoot it! So he did. And sank. A three-pointer. And if you didn't quite see that, don't worry. Because shortly after, he got the ball again. This time on the near side. For another three-pointer. At the buzzer. Jamarian Stiles. The kid no one would pick. Was now everyone's hero. Needless to say, today, Jamarian can play all he wants at the community center. He just made the volleyball team and has every intention of playing football next year. Really, the only thing he won't play is the victim.
If I could wave a magic wand right now and give you your arms back, would you want them?
I don't need them.
You don't need them?
No.
Who needs hands when you've got this kind of touch?
And I guess it's very important, no matter what happens to you in life, do not play the victim. That's probably the number one disability right there, playing the victim. Because he could have played the victim if he wanted to, but he didn't. So,
Yes, sir, I am.
Okay. Anybody else got any announcements? Okay, any announcements or other announcements to make, Chris?
Well, I do have a project that we're working on here in Illinois. It's a small community. So it's a rural town. But the city itself, you know, it's their children. But as the children are aging out of, you know, time to go on with life, they're having problems. And they got 17 young adults that are homeless. So I'm getting people here in the town I live in. I wound up selling a couple of 1,500 square foot buildings. I sold three of them. And I'm getting them made, but I'm also getting 25 house packages that are 150 square feet each, and they're coming to, we're going to put them on two lots, but the town here in Bloomington they're going to frame the frames, and then we're going to take them up there. We'll set them all up, and then we will finish them with the community there, the small town, and they will be able to save a lot of money on not have pay out on labor by doing it themselves. And also the 17 kids will be able to start doing it. And as we do it, we're going to start a program, since the people are going to be fresh and knowing how to do it. And we're going to turn them into a little production site where we just show up with houses through this pantry program. And people can build homes, and we're going to send them off to other cities. So it's a way to start creating purpose and giving people jobs. So each of them will be being paid for. And I'm actually getting a phone call now from a veterans program up in Virginia. I met them over the weekend, but they are ready to get some projects going up there as well right now. So I know I'm getting a call from her. I'll call her back, but definitely there's a lot of energy moving in the right directions here. And Detroit, I've got a huge group of people that have thousands and thousands of kids in their programs. And if maybe we might want to look at, you know, even though Detroit isn't rural, Detroit is basically rural because there's a lot of abandoned stuff going on there. But we could create something.
I lived up there. I lived up there for about 7 or 8 months back in the 90s. You're right. They got, two or three blocks could look like a war zone, and then the next block over, everything's in order. Yeah, Detroit's an interesting place.
Yeah, and it'd be nice to go ahead and do that again and get those other communities in order. Because
in my opinion, I mean, there are multiple cookie cutters, but in order, let's say there was a time, I don't know if you can do it now, but it was at a time that you can go into Detroit. If you had about $10,000, you can buy a block of properties, both sides of the houses. I mean, both sides of the street. Now, I don't know if you can still do that, though. But I'm sure they still got a lot of urban blight up there. But in order to not only Baltimore, but other cities like Baltimore and the Rust Belt, you need, in my opinion, you need to go in. You need to do some sit-down planning first and then organize a community of people. Like if you got a house, I mean, if you got a block, you know, 10 houses on one side of the street, let's say another 10 houses, 10 or 20 houses on one side of the block, 10, you know, and same on the opposite side of the block. You need to go in. You just can't go in and renovate one house at a time. Now, this is just my opinion. People do what they want to do. But you need to go in strong and knock out all the houses on both sides of the street at the same time. And then
I agree.
Move people in, and you can get, because as a lone wolf, you're going to get attacked.
You are right. And the one thing, you know, us having a financing opportunity for people now, you know, they need a 680s credit score. But if when they buy a property, if it's a house that needs to be remodeled or if it's just a property and then it needs to be developed, they will finance 70% of that purchase, but 100% of the build. So everything that you want to do to the property, they will do 100% of the financing for that. You don't have to put any money down for the build, and you won't have to pay any payments for at least a year to 18 months. So it just depends on the size of the project. So you pay interest payment on what you're borrowing to do the parts, but you won't make a principal payment, you know, that you have to pay toward that financing until the build is done.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll hear more about that as time progresses. On that note, that's all we have for today. Remember, Friday, Albert Lee will be back on. And tomorrow we might get into more of this, disability thing, because as Dr. T stated, we have all, no matter what age you are, you can be 4 or 5 years old or 95 years old and everything in between that. We have all been, if we haven't been disabled at some time, we're on our way to it. So what do you do in case you, and there are different types of disability. And of course, well, we'll get into that tomorrow. So on that note, everyone have a good rest of the day.